This is Augustus and Tony Corbett, and you're listening to the Marriage Minutes Podcast,
where we use biblical principles to enhance marriages and eliminate divorces. For the next 30 minutes, get ready for lots of laughing, learning, and loving.
Hello and welcome to the Marriage Minutes Podcast with Augustus and Tony Corbett. How are you, sweetheart?
I'm doing amazing. How are you doing?
I am doing fabulous as well.
Awesome.
So we're going to talk about something that is very controversial, right?
Right.
We're going to talk about the S word.
The S word.
Submission. So I listened to a clip of a message that was done by Bishop T.D. Jakes. I forgot the title of it, but it's maybe a couple of weeks old, the message. And I just listened to a short clip, and that clip has seemingly got a whole lot of women kind of riled up because essentially, I don't want to paraphrase what Jakes was saying, but I think a lot of women took it to mean that women are sort of acting out of character when they are out in their careers, when they are doing things that are not typically, traditionally viewed as what women should be doing. And a lot of people took objection to it. I was listening to, I think it was Ricky Smiley on his radio show, and some of them were voicing their issues with what Jakes has said. Now, so he really didn't deal with the issue of submission, but I bring it up because anytime you start getting into gender roles and, you know, what the Bible says about how women should act, it can really stir up controversy. And so we're gonna go there, all the way there, when we talk about submission. So anyway, that's sort of the opening. That's kind of the introduction. Before we get started, you know, let's have a word of prayer.
Sure. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to broadcast Marriage Minutes, and we ask that you, Holy Spirit, will speak through us as we deal with this issue of submission. It is in the Bible, and I ask that you will help us to rightly divide the Word of God and give us our listeners receptive ears and hearts to receive what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, floor is yours.
Okay, like you said, it's very controversial down through the years, and especially in the 21st century is very controversial. So I just want to start out by going to the Bible. I'm looking at Ephesians 5. We'll be going to Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 and 1 Peter. We're going to start out in Ephesians 5, I'm going to start at verse 21, because I think a lot of people overlook this particular verse when they're talking about submission. A lot of times, and I'll just go on and say this, you hear a lot about women, not let me say women, but wives submitting to their husbands. But you don't hear a lot about husbands should also submit to their wives. So let's look at Ephesians 5:21. It says, and I'm reading from the Amplified, being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then it goes on to verse 22. Again, I'm in Ephesians 5. 21 through the end of the chapter, reading out of the Amplified Translation. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives should be subject to their husbands in everything, respecting both their position as protector and their responsibility to God as head of the house. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, seek the highest good for her, and surround her with a caring, unselfish love, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word of God, so that in turn he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy, set apart for God and blameless. Even so, husbands should and are morally obligated to love their own wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own body, but instead he nourishes and protects and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members, we are parts of his body. And it goes on and on, but I'll stop there.
Well, I think the next verse, just read verse 31 too.
Okay, verse 31 of Ephesians 5. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined and be faithfully devoted to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
All right.
So I said a whole mouthful there.
Well, I think, you know what? Go ahead and read verses 32 and 33 as well.
Okay. So we'll just finish it on out, because that's what I had in my notes, to finish it out. Okay, verse 32, Ephesians 5. This mystery of two becoming one is great. This mystery of two becoming one is great. But I am speaking with reference to the relationship of Christ and the church. However, each man among you, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness, and the wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband, that she notices him and prefers him and treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear.
Wow.
What a mouthful.
Yeah. I mean, all of these verses are powerful verses. Very, very, very powerful. And they create a context that should make it very easy for women to submit to her husband. If the husband is loving, and that's what sticks out to me as a husband. This is a tall order. I actually think that the way Paul tells us husbands to love our wives is a taller order than you all submitting to your husband, quite frankly. Because, you know, Paul says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church.
Yes.
That is a tremendous standard. That is a very lofty goal to try to achieve.
Yes.
And again, if a husband is doing that, then there should be no fear whatsoever of a wife submitting to her husband. And, you know, so it's really incumbent upon us to create that environment for a wife to feel safe to submit.
I think that's an excellent point, because with you making a point that Paul makes, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And we know the church, we who are believers and members of Christ's body, we submit to Christ. Why? Because he so lovingly cares for us. He nourishes us. He comforts us. He rescues us. He protects us. He does all of these good things
for us. He died for us.
He died for us. Thank you. Yes. He proved his love for us by dying for us when he was an innocent person.
I mean, the scripture says, no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend.
Yes.
So that is really the definition of love. I remember I was counseling a couple once, and I asked them a very simple question. You weren't there, I don't think. I asked them, I said, how would you define love? And they gave me all these weird definitions. You know, I remember one of them saying something about, it's like a beautiful flower that is basking in the sunlight or something. I said, nah. Let's get our definition from the Word of God. And basically, love means sacrificing yourself for the object of your love.
Yes.
My college pastor, the man that was a pastor to me when I was in college, Bishop Otis Lockett, who's with the Lord now, he used to say that love is, how did he say it? It is sacrificing yourself for the benefit of the other, whereas lust is pleasing yourself at the benefit, at the expense of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Something to that effect.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So love basically is sacrifice.
Right. Right, and I think that's a beautiful concept for us to get hold of, because I believe if husbands are loving their wives the way Christ loved the church, it definitely would make it an easier commandment to keep, to submit to their husbands. And I think the reason this whole submission thing becomes so controversial is because most of the preachers in the pulpits are men. And in my personal observation, men are just saying, wives submit, wives submit, wives submit. And they're not doing a lot of focusing on husbands' love. Husbands, love your wives.
As Christ loved the church.
Right. And so that's where you get this probably off balance, this overemphasis of wives submitting. And you don't get this balancing act of, okay, but husbands should be loving and nourishing and protecting, you know, their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. So, yeah, I think that's a very good point. So this message is not just for women.
Mm-mm.
Let me say that.
Not
this
at all.
Message is for husbands and wives.
That's right.
This whole submission thing is about husbands and wives submitting.
And like you said, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the scripture says, submit to one another, actually. And how does that look? What does that look like? I mean, what do you mean? Husbands submit to your wives. Wives submit to your husbands. But husbands submitting to wives? Yes. And I think of it this way. I respect you as being a very, very intelligent, godly woman. And therefore, I value your opinions. And we've had a rule in our marriage that we don't make major decisions without the agreement of both. I don't just go out. Yes, I'm the head of the family. But for example, I just don't go out and ride and come back home with a new car.
Right.
I mean, we have just had that rule in place ever since we've been married. And why do I observe that rule? Because that's a form of me submitting to you.
Right.
That's a form of me saying, Tony, I respect your opinion. I know how intelligent you are. Really more intelligent than me, quite frankly. So I really want your advice on this. And if your advice is the better advice, then I'll submit to it. It may take me a while to come around. Right? Let's keep
right,
it real.
Right.
I mean, you know, how many times have you said something and then it just doesn't hit me and then it hits me later and I'm like, you know.
Well, I think we ought to do this. And I'm saying, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Knowing I had already told you this is what I think we ought to do weeks earlier, but I just play it off. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. It happens a lot. It happens a lot. And so we're really submitting to one another in that instance.
Right.
You know, when you are saying what the word says or what you say is more, you know, has more wisdom in it, then I would be a fool to reject it and not submit to what you're saying.
So then that's when I think men have to be very mindful not to let their ego, pride, and arrogance and all that come into play to say, well, my wife is not going to, like, tell me what to do. No. Most wives do not want to tell their husbands what to do. Most wives want to be led by their husbands. You see what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
So if it's a mutual respect between the husband and the wives, then I believe we can have an intelligent conversation. And sometimes what I'm saying as a wife may not make sense, you know, just practical sense. And then that's when you, as the head of the house, will have the final say-so. And that has happened. And I give our audience an example. When we first got married, we definitely didn't have a bunch of money. And you needed a computer. Wanted a computer, but not just wanted. You had started
a new
position.
I needed it for work.
You needed it for work and your position as a chemist. And the computer, I'll never forget it, cost, what, about
$1,200? $1,200. It was an Apple Macintosh computer.
Yes, yes. Apple Macintosh cost $1,200 back in like 1990, 91 or something.
Exactly.
And I'm like, where are we getting $1,200? We don't know. We don't need, you don't need that computer. Do the best you can. And I was wrong in that instance. So you, as the head of the house, said, I believe this will be an investment. You went and got the computer, and it was the most wise thing you could have done at that time and has proven to be so beneficial. All the computers, and we have bought a lot of computers.
Yeah, we've bought a bunch since then.
Pastor Corbett is a computer geek, tech geek, a nerd, whatever you want to call it, with technology and computers and everything else that goes along with it. But it has benefited us.
Yes.
As a family.
Yeah. I mean,
As a ministry, family, and everything else, in your work, you know, in ministry. So I was wrong there, and that's when you, as being the head, I have the final decision. I heard your input, but I don't agree that would be the best thing for us right now. I believe we need to purchase this computer, and we did. And now, 34 years later, we're still buying computers because they're so beneficial.
Yes. Well, yes, I needed it for work. I had to have it. I was had just been hired as a research chemist. And one of the things we have to do as a research chemist is we have to write reports from the work, the lab work that we're doing, the bench work that we're doing. And because and I won't get into that, but you have to write these reports of exactly what you did so that it can be reproduced if necessary. So I had to get a computer, and the job supplied a computer on the job, but I needed it at home.
Right.
As mm-hmm. well. So this computer, I was able to, it was a big thing too. It's not like these computers nowadays. I mean, our phones are more powerful than that computer was back
right,
then.
Right.
But I was able to carry it back and forth to work, you know, great big old thing like a suitcase. But yeah, I decided to go ahead and get it. But the point that we're making is we talked about it.
Yes.
I sought your opinion. It was very, very, very received, but I knew I had to have it, and I knew we would, like you said, it would be an investment.
Right.
So I went on and did it. Now, I must say that it's one of the rare moments where your advice hasn't been good advice, okay, in all honesty, sincerely. And in fact, I will go as far as saying in 99% of the cases, if I don't do what you have advised us to do, I end up regretting it. Okay? Now, you all listening to us, you may say, well, wait, hold on. No, look. I married a very smart woman. And I never saw us as being the type of couple that you just be quiet and do what I say and I don't want to hear from you. And that's not me. That's not the way I see it. I see us as being a partnership, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm the head. And really what that means is God holds me accountable
right.
for the family. So it's not like I'm the head. Yeah, what that means is the Lord is holding you accountable for this family. So anyway, yeah, when you give your advice, 99% of the time, it is accurate, and I want it. I ask you for it. Let's talk about it. Now, if it's not big, then that's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
But major decisions and purchases, no. And to me, that's a form of submitting one to another.
I agree.
And it doesn't have to be in the financial area. Excuse me. It doesn't have to be in the financial area. You know, it may be, well, you know, honey, I believe the Lord is saying this or that about this or that. I'm going to take that very seriously because I know God speaks to you. You're a praying woman. You're in the Word. I mean, So am I saying, I'm inferring it really strongly. If you have married a woman or a man that you respect, you know their intelligence, you know their relationship with God, I mean, that it makes it easy to submit to one another.
You're right. Now, for people who are listening, let's go to 1 Peter.
Okay.
If someone is married to someone who is not perhaps in the Word, a praying person, may not even be saved at all, what are they supposed to do? How does submission look for them if one is a Christ follower and the spouse is not?
All right, so we can go there, but let me ask you whether we can come back to Ephesians 5 here, because this is so powerful.
It is. So we'll hold off on that because we said a lot in Ephesians 5. And you all in Colossians 3, it says the very same thing
yeah.
that Ephesians 5 says. So, yeah, we can stay there.
Well, it's just so...
for a little longer.
It's so powerful, especially as it relates. I'm not talking about the submission part. I'm talking about the love your wife part.
Right.
It is... It's chilling. It's chilling the standard that Paul set here for husbands. Okay? And I'm the first to say, I don't get this right. I don't walk in this to perfection or even to some great degree of perfection, because it's a very tall standard to do something as Christ does it.
I mean, that's for all of us. You're right.
Yeah.
But I believe in the context that we're talking about husbands and wives, he put his finger on husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We know generally we're supposed to love everybody, but in the context of what we're speaking of today, a marriage relationship, he is really pointing the finger to the husbands.
Exactly.
To love their wives.
That's right. And that's a part of being the head.
Right.
A part of being the head is you loving your wife the way Christ loved the church. Before we look at Ephesians 5, can I just read something from that I put on Facebook today?
Yes.
It says, I wrote, strong black men, how many pounds a brother can bench press or deadlift doesn't define his strength. His strength is not even measured at the gym, primarily. His strength is measured at home. His strength is measured by him marrying the wife of his youth. It's measured by him loving and honoring his wife for the rest of his life or their lives. And we saw that with our parents, right?
We sure did.
We saw our parents be married until they both died.
Right.
It's measured by him rearing godly children. It's measured by him building wealth for his posterity. It's measured in him possessing a good and godly name. And most importantly, it's measured in his relationship with Jesus.
That's powerful. That's really powerful. That's really defining what a godly man looks like, should exhibit in his home and community. That's really, really good.
Yeah, because manhood, masculinity has been corrupted today. And we don't really know what it means. And depending on one's environment, the way one was raised, the way a man was raised, what he saw with his father, or whether he had a father, and other male figures in his life, can sort of define what it means to be a man. And so I was trying to remind us that our definition of manhood should emanate from Scripture.
Definitely, definitely, because the scriptures have to be the standard, because we are made in God's image. He's our creator. And he knows what is going to work in a society, what's going to bring some peace and prosperity in any local community. The more that you have men and women obeying Scripture, being people of integrity, wanting to obey Holy Scripture, you're going to have a better society. The chaos and all the criminality and the confusion and, you know, all of this other stuff and mess that is going on is because people are not following Scripture.
That's right.
So as a man, the manhood has to be aligned with Scripture. The Scripture has to be the standard, as well as women. And I believe that's what Bishop Jakes had alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times the 21st century woman may, you know, not want to be that traditional woman that we read about in the Bible.
Or she may be in a situation where she can't be.
Right.
Right.
Circumstances outside of her control.
Right. Where she has to be the breadwinner, where she has to be the one to go out there and make it happen and bring in the food and all of this.
And raise the kids.
And raise the kids.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, and paint the house and all everything.
Everything.
You know, unfortunately. But yes, as you said, you know, the Word of God is our standard. And so in the Christian context, and that's what we're talking about, and I think we probably need to say that and stress that, that this probably won't work for non-Christians, right?
Right.
You need
Christians
to be.
Christians are having a hard time.
Even Christians are having a difficult time doing it. And we have the nature of Christ
that's
and
right.
the Holy Spirit. And if so we're struggling to do it, then you know the unbeliever probably cannot meet the standard.
Right, right.
So I'm trying to take the fear out of submission. That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to communicate that if the husband is doing his part in loving his wife the way Christ, and I can't wait until we get over there and look at those other verses that you got lined up, it's going to make that so much easier for the wife. And as you said, most wives don't want the responsibility of carrying the family and carrying the household. Most
Absolutely.
Wives don't want that.
They do not want that because God didn't make us to carry that. I mean, glory to God. Like we said, God is the creator. He's the one who created marriage. He put Adam and Eve together. So he knows what works. And he knows that the wife was not made to carry the headship of that family. And that's why if any wife is honest, she would say, I definitely want to be led by my husband.
Amen. Now,
there's another question, whether he knows how to lead or whether he's willing to lead. That's a whole nother question, but she wants to be led.
Well, there are a lot of nuances here.
Right.
Right. There are a lot of nuances. There are a lot of, I can hear wives saying, that sounds so good.
Yes.
But my husband, blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
And maybe as we talk about this subject, we'll get to some of those nuances. Okay. I'm trying to put it back on the husbands, Tony. That's what I'm trying to do. So.
And I appreciate that. I'm so glad you're doing that because I'm telling you, if we could have all the wives to raise their hand, most of the time when they're hearing about submission, it's about wives submit, wives submit, wives submit. You better submit. You know, you're supposed to submit. Your husband is the head. You're supposed to obey your husband, you know.
That's true. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I mean, that jumps off the pages at me. He gave himself for her. Because remember, we said love is sacrifice.
Right.
Love is an action word. It's a verb. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So his sacrificial love, his sacrificial efforts will sanctify her. Will set her apart, will cleanse her, the scripture goes on to say, and calls her to be this glorious, beautiful woman of God. You see?
Yes.
He's in essence, nurturing her.
Right, nurturing her.
He's grooming her. He is, you know, investing so much love and so forth, oh my God, into her that she's glowing. And you can tell, my word, he's taking very good care of this woman.
That's the picture that's being painted here. And he goes on to say, for no one ever hated his own body, because he tells the husbands to love your wives as your own body. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Now, you know, my background is in social work. So, you know, I could go into a whole nother trail saying that maybe some husbands are not loving their wives the way that Christ would want them to love their wives, because maybe they haven't learned how to love themselves. Does that make sense?
Say that again. I mean,
the Bible says he who loves his own wife loves himself. So I'm presenting that maybe some husbands have not learned how to love themselves since they have been in Christ, because of perhaps their upbringing, what their uncle taught them, you know, a distorted view of what love is. Some men just think love is sex and love is lust. All of those, that craziness that's out here in the world.
Abuse. They could have been abuse victims.
They could have been abused. So if they don't know how, if husbands don't know how to love themselves, or if they never saw love, like what you were saying, if they never saw a husband and a wife and a loving relationship, then how do they know how to love their wives? Perhaps because they don't even know how to love themselves. And that could be another reason for all this disconnect when it comes to submission in the marriage context.
Sure.
Just bringing that out.
Yeah. And so I can hear a wife saying, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that, because I don't see how I can submit to this man the way he does. He doesn't love me like Christ loves the church. He doesn't sacrifice for me. He doesn't nurture me and you know, build me up and treat me like a queen. You know, he doesn't do that. And so submitting to him would put me in a situation of being abused myself. Okay.
Okay. We're getting to the nitty gritty.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the people are, you know. And because what we're reading here is the ideal.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that. This, because this is the standard.
That's
this
right.
is what we all are aspiring to do and yes. to be.
Yes.
We're all becoming.
Yes.
If we're in Christ.
Yes.
None of us have arrived.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
We're all becoming.
Some of us are further along than others.
Some of us definitely are further along than others.
And in our marriage, you were further along than I was. Okay? I mean, just being honest about it. And you had been walking strongly with the Lord longer than I had. And another thing, I think women are just more mature than we are.
We mature faster. Yes.
I think that's,
we mature earlier than men.
I think that's indisputable. I mean, really.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't, so I had to grow as a husband and I'm still growing as a husband. Right?
Right.
I'm still growing. I'm still learning how to be, because this is a tall order. This is a tall order. But I've come a long ways. I've come a long ways. And you got kind of quiet right there, but I think I have.
You have definitely come a long way. I don't want, you know, when you say long way, no, we're all growing. That's why I didn't say anything immediately, because we are all growing. You know, it's just that I was probably more, had matured earlier than you. And I'm older than you, too. Remember that?
Yeah, what, a year?
Yeah, but a year, also being a female, females already mature earlier than men.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But if we're really going to be helpful to people, we gotta talk up front. We got to be blunt and just get into the nitty gritty. because that's where the people are. Folks are in the gray areas, right?
Right.
And I don't want to sit here and make it sound like we have been just walking in this since we got married in 1988. No. I mean, again, you, and I give you this credit, you have, you know, worked on being submissive to me even when I wasn't walking in this. Now, you know, don't misunderstand me. I have been a faithful husband. I have been, you know, committed to my family, to you, and so forth. Don't misunderstand me. That's not what I'm saying. But this, again, is a tall order. I had to grow into this. I had to grow into what it means to love your wife or anyone the way Christ loved the church. Okay? There are wives out there who are married to men like I was. I came out the streets.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I came out the streets. I was in the streets before I got saved. And me getting saved did not result in me starting to just walk like Christ walked immediately.
Right.
And even today, I'm still walking it out.
Right. And both of us. But I see what you're saying. And for those.
So here's the question. Let me just phrase it in a question. What do you tell those wives out there about submission whose husbands are not loving them like Christ loved the church? Do they still submit or what?
Okay, that's a great question.
Why don't you hold an answer to that question? We're going to, this is part one, okay? We'll start part two with the answer to that question. What about that?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, very good. So you all, this is the Marriage Minutes Podcast. I am Augustus Corbett. You are?
Tony Corbett.
And we are dealing with a very controversial, a very somewhat complex subject.
Yes.
Submission and husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. And we're trying to be open and honest about it. We're trying to put it on the table and show you how we have walked this out over the years.
Yes.
Okay? So, tune in to our next podcast where we'll do part two on submission and husbands loving your wives. All right?
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.